Almost Totally Responsible for Senator Feinstein by Amy Zeidel, September 21, 23. Almost Totally Responsible for Senator Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein may be one of the rare examples of me voting for a Democrat. But I did more than just vote for DiFi. At the time she was first running for Senate, her Republican opponent was Pete Wilson. As a lifetime Republican, I was involved with college Republicans when attending. I received a mailer from Pete Wilson or those supporting him. It's funny. Some parts I remember crystal clear, others not so much. In any case, I got a mailer, and based on the type of mailings I continue to receive nowadays, accompanied with 21st century technology, including emails and texts and some calls if they make it through the phone blocking system, it was a survey to gauge what things were of interest to a voter likely to support him. I do not remember what question or questions really annoyed me, but I found it execrably objectionable. I felt it was demeaning and insulting. It infuriated me to the point that I either returned the survey with a detailed note of what was wrong with it, but I think I mailed a letter. Either way, I, in writing, on paper or card, snail mailed a response, and someone with Pete Wilson's campaign, or Pete himself, should have received my explanation of what was wrong with the material they sent. Here I am, a young Republican eager to help, volunteer for the campaign, and vote Republican, but what was sent to me was so condescending, I documented their flaws and how aggravating me or others like me was not a good strategy. I got no response. I didn't get a delayed response. I got nothing in response. This outraged me even more. Common sense logic would conclude that if you do not respond to an ideal target audience member whose vote you need and want, then how representative would you be when you're in office and a constituent you have no idea if they voted for you or not has a problem? The conclusion I made was not very representative. And what did I do? I got myself over to a local Dianne Feinstein campaign office and volunteered making phone calls. I was in a traditional setting on row of banquet tables making calls. The difference from this experience to those for Republican campaigns is I don't recall a horrible, stupid script to read to the people we were calling. Nope, I just called people and encouraged them to vote for Feinstein, explaining how I was a solid Republican, but that I got no reply from Wilson's office to my message to them, and did not think that bode well for future constituents. I did not use that exact phrase. I shared my experience getting condescending offensive mailer and zero acknowledgement of my concerns, and that if they wouldn't reply to my message when they want my support, then how would they respond when someone has a complaint and they are in office? Well, I don't remember how many people I called. I don't recall making friends with anyone volunteering or operating the office. All I know is that I did have something to do with Dianne Feinstein getting elected and Pete Wilson not getting elected. I can fairly certainly attest that I never voted for DiFi again. And when the HP gal was running, Carly Fiorina, I had to look that up. I did everything I could to track down yard signs that ended up in a dark closet in a local Republican HQ. I will remind you all that Republicans don't lose because of policy. They lose because too many campaigns are awful. There's a political consultancy industrial complex, and GOP needs to wake up and recognize that, one, do not hire a losing consultant. Two, be aware that the consultants make more when you keep losing. Why am I sharing this? Because I'm frustrated and, again, irritated by the narrative about Dianne Feinstein. Yes, she is elderly. Yes, she needs some assistance. Yes, she has some health concerns. The coverage of a vote where the committee was looking for attendance, to me, it is very clear she did not hear what the vote was for. She was not confused. She simply did not hear what the vote was called for. In any case, if you ever have the luxury, the blessing of knowing elderly people, you know that while they aren't spring chickens anymore, they are not incapable of letting their opinion be known. that her daughter has power of attorney is a proactive approach when dealing with elderly parents experiencing illness. I do not think that makes DiFi unable to voice and therefore vote her position on matters of the Senate. Incidentally, shingles sucks, and getting it at her age is worse. I personally have had my own experience with shingles, and only from the coverage about DiFi did I learn that there could be neurological consequences beyond epidermal sensitivity. I've been lucky to know more than one elderly person. I highlight a couple of them here. A 90-plus Holocaust survivor cousin. If not for COVID restrictions, my cousin's global speaking travel would have continued. So he did lots of virtually. Talking to him a few years ago over the phone, he had a clear awareness of conversation, nuance, and important things going on in life and the world. A 90-plus fellow volunteer friend, not political stuff. We spoke regarding the question of if duck food sales regarding a small group should continue, even though the net profit is minimal. She was retired from such volunteer work after decades of involvement. I asked her about this matter. You see, among others, there were differing opinions on whether or not duck food should continue. As my elderly friend had previously managed such matters, I wanted to get her insight. In my mind, what she says goes. After a brief hello over the phone, I mentioned that there were questions about the duck food. Here is a fairly accurate paraphrasing of the conversation. I asked, has the group always paid for the duck food? My friend, yes. I asked again, so could another entity be paying for the duck food? My friend, razor sharp and clear, no. I followed up, so the group should pay for the duck food. My friend responded, yes. I followed up again. The net profit is about, I mentioned, a modest amount. Should it still pay? My friend replied quickly, yes. Wanting to cover every argument I had heard, I persisted. Even if it is at a loss, my friend rushed to answer the question emphatically before I had finished saying the word loss. Yes. I concluded, okay, thanks for your input. It's clear what your opinion is. I will let them know. Their view, their vote was firm and adamant beyond those decades younger. While anecdotal, I think this proves that DiFi can express her view on a matter, with support all senators receive from their staff. Of course, I don't agree with much of DiFi's vote, so that is not the question. The question is, can she still function in her role as a senator? I say the answer is yes. If I was asked about Senator Fetterman, I would say the answer is no. Never was, never will be. Age is not the matter. Capability and competency is. Seems very simple. Everyone can agree. Yet, we must be careful not to judge ridiculous policy positions or policy positions we don't agree with as making a senator or congressperson, cabinet secretary, vice president, or president qualify as incompetent. As I have articulated in a previous piece, Political Satire Almost Plausible, President Joe Biden has demonstrated that anyone can become president. He is also tremendously successful. Unfortunately for our country, the future of our country, for democracy and global stability, for ourselves and future selves like progeny, what is successful to the Biden-Obama administration is poison to USA. Biden is a very successful poison for America, worse than the cancer he wants to cure. For example, his successful border policy is erasing it. Truly, this is a violation of oath of office as protecting the Constitution from adversaries foreign and domestic. Biden has managed to do both at the same time. By not enforcing our border, the foreign trespassers are, by Biden's policy, becoming domestic. Horrible! Our prophetic founding fathers put in place procedures in such situations. However, the Constitution is not a swipe left or right or quick cancel culture boycott. The Constitution is designed that way. Things are not supposed to be lickety-split for the most part. Yes, it can be tedious at times, but more often than not, we're reminded of the genius of it all. It seems clear to me that violation of oath of office and or making such in bad faith is prevalent throughout the Biden administration all the way to the top, and that it would be appropriate to take penalty action against many. Of course, that would take time, and in just a few months, primaries will begin, and what do you know, hopefully legal American voters will elect new leadership. So whatever constitutional process exists for such, the next inauguration might manifest sooner. Same would likely apply to Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, whereby the United States shall protect each state against invasion. Not sure it details instigating said invasion, or maybe quicker path would be utilizing penalties per 18 U.S. Code Section 1918 that deals with its no-no to knowingly want to off our constitutional form of government. So stop with the condescending and offensively bad lighting picture of DiFi in a wheelchair. Stop saying the American voters are smart. The current state of our nation is evidence that's a no. The competency of the voter is paramount. Competency matters.